tonight. Somebody made a comment. Somebody made a question.
Did you take my phone?
No, that was mine. I forgot to record.
I'm recording here?
Yeah.
Hi there. Sorry. It's technology sometimes. I'm not with it. I'm not quite with it. The conversation turned to worship. And there was a comment about music. And talking about churches, and I know churches, they're you know, there's a lot of contemporary music. I can't even say the word contemporary. Joke. There are a lot of churches that have gone to contemporary music, and they don't sing the old hymns. We got talking about what a blessing the old hymns are. Folks, if you are preparing to stand up in front of people and hopefully to share what God has laid upon your heart, there is nothing that will put you in a sense of worship than, I'd rather have Jesus. I would rather have Jesus. Thank you, Matt, for that wonderful, moving, stirring inside song. At Mount Calvary, we've been so blessed to be a family. And I heard in prayer requests today that people concerned, people have gotten notification from doctors this week that they're concerned. People are trying to answer questions about how they're going to get the care that they need. And we thank God for those caretakers, the way that God has just moved in and put the right people in the place we need. I'm going to read for you, and I think just a single verse. This is found over in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter, all the way down in the 22nd verse, Paul, talking about the life that he led after his conversion on that road to Damascus. Earlier he was talking to the king there, "I was not disobedient in heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me." The 22nd verse reads, Therefore, having obtained help from God. And that little phrase right there is what the whole sermon's going to be about. Having obtained help from God. "To this day I stand witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Just open our minds and hearts for just a moment or two here, God, that we receive the truth that you have in each one of us and the wonderful spirit that you give. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Therefore, having obtained help from God. First of all, who is the source of this help? God. Who is the source of that which you need? It is God. Hebrews, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear." Who is the source of your help? God. Secondly, what is the secret? What is the secret of this help? It says here, having obtained. It's something that I have. God's Holy Spirit now lives within me. It says also in Hebrews, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And thirdly, what is the strength What is the strength of this help that this verse talks about? I know that the source is God. I know that the secret is that I have obtained this, and it now resides within me. I also like this little teeny word that says help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, through His Son, is the source, is the secret, and is the strength of the help that I need. Now, if you're taking notes or you're recording, those are my 3 points. Now I'm going to have a chance to talk to you. Yesterday I was in Madison, Virginia. Anybody go to Madison, Virginia? Know where it is? Man, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Right down on 29, about an hour and a half, I'd say, from here. As I walked out on the edge of that baseball field, and I saw Hunter out there with his glasses on, his hat on, you know, and he was just looking. He had that first baseman's mitt. Oh, he's right-handed, like this. I felt such a feeling of pride. Got up to plate the first time. They threw him a curveball, and he only swung about 2 seconds too early. And then here comes the ball. He struck out on 3 pitches. I'm running back to the dugout. I said, Hunter, don't worry. You're doing fine. You're doing fine. I know it had to be a little nervous for him. Me there. I wore a white shirt and I was afraid to take my cap off. I thought the white hair and the white shirt would be too much. Maybe that got in his eyes. As the game went on, he pitched for 2 innings, did a wonderful job. They won the doubleheader, they won the first game, and they tied the second game, and they call it a tie because of time restraints. And then after the game, you could see him come over and he was just beaming. And as they finished, all the players got together in a circle. And they talked about the game. They talked about which parts of the game they liked and which parts of the game maybe they could improve upon a little bit. But each player, everyone had something positive to say about the play of the other players. There was no finger pointing. Somebody's going to give up a hit. Somebody might misplay a ball. That's just going to happen. That's part of playing the game. When you're a family, you know that you're going to make mistakes. You know that there are going to be trials. I know here at Mount Calvary, so many times I made mistakes. I was taking prayer requests, and I walked back, and I looked right at Carol, and I don't even know what name I called her back there. I called her some name. I don't know what it is, like that. And inside, I had to chuckle because I can remember so many times. My mother pointed me and said, "Now, Paul, you go do this." I'm Chuck. My brother's Paul. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. I know none of you ever parents have ever called your children by the wrong names. I know you as children have never been called by a wrong name. But then what follows, what I liked. You know who you are. Don't correct me, as my mother would say. That's what families do. They don't get it right all the time. They don't always say everything as perfectly as you would like for them to do. But you still know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are loved by family. Oh, there's challenges, and there's things that strain, and there are issues that go on, and there are challenges that we face. But I believe that it is a tremendous thing to have unity of mind and spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians, there's a wonderful, wonderful verse. 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, the 10th verse. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The same mind and in the same judgment. The writer, the Apostle Paul, basically, you'll be of the same mind and of the same heart. I'm amazed what a people can do when they are joined together by the same mind and in the same heart. Miss Terry Lee this morning, Rick said that Matt forgot his hair gel to get that thing that Terry gets going over there, you know. And but Matt jumps in there and does whatever he can. Now, Calvary is about people. When you ask them to do something, they give it a try. Barbara came when she started out teaching on Wednesday night. She was going. She was just talking away. She was just going. I said, Barbara, don't worry. We'll get there. She was done about 20 minutes early. She says, because I was so nervous about running over. And then people started to share a little bit from the congregation. And the things that God had laid upon her heart to share with, it started to resonate chords within people's hearts. And as one person shared here, then one person shared over there. Then one person shared about the music, and somebody started talking about worship and about what worship personally means to them. We became in one mind, one spirit, and in one accord. Just like it says in God's Word. I know you face challenges. I know that as we place our faith, I know that as we look for answers to questions, so many times, questions that we never even thought we would ever ask, that we need to rely in what is written in His Word. I like families. I believe that God has blessed us with the families that He's given us. Even think that God allows in-laws to come in and be a great blessing. I don't believe what the one fella said. Now y'all know the story about Solomon and his great wisdom and the baby that was brought to him. There were two ladies who did what, Ruby? They said each one was the mother, right? So Solomon in his wisdom, he said what? He said, bring me a sword. It must be right because Ruby's nodding her head over here in agreement. And I will give both of these mothers a part of this child. And oh, you know the story. The one mother says, no, please don't touch a hair on his head. And Solomon knew then that that was the true mother of that baby. It is said about in the same principle of two mothers that came to Solomon, and in front of them was a great young man dressed in a wonderful suit, looking about like Matt did this morning with that tie on, you know, just a wonderful suit. And one mother said, this young man is supposed to marry my daughter. And the second mother came and said, no, no. This young man is supposed to marry my daughter. So King Solomon, his wisdom, he said, bring me a sword. I will split this man down the middle. The first mother said, go ahead. The second mother said, oh no, don't harm a don't harm a hair on this innocent young man. King Solomon says, that's it. He will marry the first mother's daughter because she has exhibited what it means to be a mother-in-law. Earl, don't look like that. That's right.
Lady Roses.
I don't believe it. I believe that the people, whether they are family by blood, whether they are family by marriage, or whether they are family, which I believe many times is even stronger, because they are a fellow brother, sister in Christ that God has allowed to be in your life. Serving as a friend, serving as a caretaker, serving as a one that you can share anything within your heart with, knowing that they will not judge, but lift you up in prayer and lift me up in prayer. I believe that those are gifts from God. Last Sunday, Father's Day. Today seemed like with each one of these prayer requests, it just seemed like we need to just add on a little more family love and family love and family love and family love. Because there are people here who have questions and are hurting. They will find source in their help from God's Word. They will find the source to be God. The secret that God gives us within our hearts, His Holy Spirit, and also the strength that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does this thing go off when I'm done?
It goes off when I turn it off.
Okay, it goes off when you turn it off. Well, I'm just about done. Folks, summertime's vacation. You're going to be traveling. People be in and out of here going. When you see them, give them the biggest smile that you can. Go from within the heart of your hearts and let them know that you have missed them. And tell them that they are a blessing by God unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house. We have shared, I believe, God, what you've laid upon our hearts today. Now we ask that each one of the sound of my voice, who are dealing with struggles and questions,